this Monday, 21st day of June. Welcome back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, our wonderful Broncos insider, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And Zach, everybody had an opinion about the Broncos field day last week. And that's when you know. You're the king of the town, man. You're the king of the city. Everyone's got an opinion on that one. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Some people didn't like it. Some people were like, yeah, that's perfect for this group. It feels camaraderie. You're off for a month. Where do you lie on that one?
Is it a tough look, Brady, going 5-11, not making the playoffs for, you know, so long, and then having a field day instead of practice? Yeah, I get that it's not the best look, but there was nothing they were going to do in that practice which was going to make or break them winning a game come September or October. So to me, have fun, have some team bonding. It's okay. And also, Brady, this wasn't, I know Vic Fangio likes to play it like he makes this last-minute decision to cancel practice. No, he's built this into their schedule, so it's not like they were crossing off, instead of doing red zone and perfecting scoring touchdowns, let's have a field day. No, they got all that work in earlier in the offseason.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, because, you know, here we are June, mid-June, and you have a lot of training camp coming up, a lot of days, a lot of practice. I'm with you. It's hard for me to believe that you're going to look back if the Broncos go 5-11 again or 5-12, then you're going to go back and say, well, we shouldn't have had that field day on that third day, man. That was a mistake.
Instead of 5-11, they're actually 11-6 this year. If only they had that field day.
Yes. If only we had the field day. That all being said, Zach, your main takeaways from the two real days, because we know they're off now until the real camp gets going, and then, my goodness, we get ever so closer to regular season, preseason, all that. But what are some of the main things you walked away from, and you have big questions in your mind? We know the quarterback position is the big one.
Yeah, it is the big one. And right now, the biggest takeaway from that is that this is going to be a competition that's going to last a long time into training camp. It's a pretty even competition, which is good for the Broncos because it means that Teddy is as advertised, and we have seen improvements from Drew. I feel better about the Broncos quarterback position now than I did 1 month ago before OTAs, and the reason for that is Teddy Bridgewater is the guy who we think he is. He's the guy that can come in, steady the ship, not makes massive mistakes. He's also pushing the ball downfield a lot more than I was expecting, so I like that. And Drew Lock's been able to keep up with him. Now, Drew's had the higher highs and also the lower lows, and that was just a perfect example last week. Tuesday, Brady, Drew comes out, and he is on fire. After a poor start, he doesn't even let the ball touch the ground the rest of practice. He has a fantastic red zone period. I mean, touchdowns left and right, putting the ball exactly where it needs to be, making the right reads throughout the rest of practice. But then Wednesday, he comes back in the Broncos' final minicamp practice, and he's not bad by any means, but the big plays aren't there for him. He's making the right reads for the most part outside of one crucial interception where he is looking left, looking left, looking left, gives way too much time for Justin Simmons to come over, pick off the route. Those are the mistakes that the Broncos cannot afford. Those are the ones where if Drew continues to make those in training camp, it's going to be Teddy's job. So that's a deep dive into just where the quarterback position sits now, but I think it's going to be something that isn't decided until right around that final preseason game, even though I would personally like it to be earlier. Outside of that, the biggest takeaways from this offseason for me, Brady, is this defense is real. It is the truth. They look great in every single aspect. They should be a top five, top three. They really should be competing for a top one defense in the NFL to be the NFL's best. That's how good this defense should be. And Patrick Surtain is a big reason for that. This rookie is the truth. He's not going to need training wheels on his rookie season. So those are the big takeaways for me.
I love to hear it about Surtain. I'm so excited to see what he can do, what this entire defense can do. Now, okay, if this defense is as good as you're thinking, and I think a lot of us are getting excited about it, that you're going to win some games based on just defense and your offense falling over the goal line a few times. Do you think that does that help Drew Lock's case? Because even if Teddy Bridgewater is the better quarterback, maybe it's obvious, maybe it's not, we kind of know what we have in Bridgewater. We know that he's probably not the future of the Broncos. Now, Drew Lock, still out there. That is still a big question. I mean, I think it all depends on training camp and this season, but if you're making decisions and you say, I think our defense is going to be so good that they keep us in games, and Drew Lock just has to be average, and then if he gets better as the season progresses, well, we also found our franchise quarterback in the process. Does that make that Drew Lock's life a little bit easier, or are they looking at this going, no, best man for the job, no matter what?
Yeah, I really like the argument and the reasoning for that, and I could buy it if this coaching staff wasn't fighting for their job this year. Let's say that this coaching staff was a new coaching staff brought in by George Payton, then I'm absolutely buying exactly what you're saying. But because this coaching staff from the offense and the defensive side of the ball, including the head coach, is fighting for their job this year, they're not going to want to go with the guy that's going to need a couple of weeks to get up to speed. They're not going to want to just have to rely on their defense. And one of the things that the defense can do is they can be great, but one thing we haven't seen, Brady, is we have not seen the turnovers that we thought came with the Vic Fangio defense and the takeaways from a defense. So if the Broncos aren't really creating points on defense, one thing they can't do is have big turnovers and costly mistakes on the offensive side of the ball. And so that would hurt Drew, because they know that Teddy is going to have fewer of those, or they would think that. So the whole argument just kind of falls apart, where it's this coaching staff. They have to get wins this year. They can't be messing around.
Yeah, you're right. The pressure on Vic Fangio especially, certainly expecting growth. Maybe not playoffs, but at least very close. Although when you say that with this defense, it's hard for me. I've always said the top teams, you know, they're, if you're a Super Bowl contender, really, and again, I know the Broncos aren't there. Aaron Rodgers maybe changes things, but usually teams that go deep into the Super Bowl, they have a top five unit in something, whether that's defense or rushing defense or passing defense, offense, same side. So, I mean, if this defense is that good, Zach, you might be able to win a lot of games with Teddy playing conservatively, Drew Lock, whatever. This team could make a run just with this defense playing lights out, kind of like what we saw back in Peyton Manning's last year.
They really could, and there were two key things for that. The defense made the big play at the right time that year. I mean, when you look, the Broncos were making big plays left and right, but they were also doing it at the right time, just when the team needed it. And another thing was they were incredibly healthy that year, and that typically happens with a lot of championship teams. They just get very lucky with the injury bug. So can the Broncos' defense stay healthy? Years past, it certainly has not. So maybe all the stars align this year. If you can keep both of your star pass rushers on the field, and if you get to keep, let's just say, three of your four cornerbacks healthy for the majority of the season, then this defense should be that good. And then all you need, Brady, is average quarterback play, because we get so caught up in quarterbacks, and understandably so. It's the most important position. It's going to decide the future of this team the most. But they're going to be relying on their running game a lot. They traded up in the second round to get a running back. They're paying Melvin Gordon $8 million. They're going to rely on those guys a ton. So all you need from a quarterback is really top 20 play. If they get average play, they will be a playoff team this year from the quarterback position. If they get top 20 play, so even a little bit below average, they'll still be competitive.
Who do you think is going to be the best player on this defense by the time the season's over?
Oh man, that is a great question. With so many stars on that defense, I can't go with the rookie Patrick Surtain, but I really want to, because I think he's going to be very, very good by the end of this season. But I'm going to have to go with a Pro Bowler and Von Miller. Mm-hmm. He looks like he is back to where he was. Now, obviously, we don't get a great feel for that in OTAs, but he does look healthy. He does look like he still has that explosion. And that's something that the Broncos have to have from him. They cannot have another 8-sack season like they had from him 2 years ago, and obviously didn't even play a single snap last year due to the injury. If Von Miller is dominant, then this defense is going to be dominant.
Do you think there's a certain amount of pressure? Maybe Von puts it on himself, the fans, the media, on Von's legacy. I mean, we get texters all the time that are like, what has Von done since the Super Bowl? You know, Von hasn't been that kind of a playmaker. I mean, I say that Von's easily one of the top five greatest Broncos of all time. But I'll admit, I mean, the last couple of years, obviously missed last year, the special factor hasn't surrounded the Broncos by any stretch. Vaughn's there, of course, but is there pressure for Vaughn to have a monster type year, to put his name, for many doubters, back in that, hey, one of the greatest Broncos of all time?
Yeah, I do think so, and I think, you know, recency bias certainly plays a role in that, but like I said, 8 sacks in the past 2 years, Brady. If he comes out, and I think he needs a little more than just double digits, but let's say he posts 14 sacks, has one of his best years of his career, and leads a dominant defense because he's the best player, then yeah, people are going to say, oh man, yep, he's back. He is one of those top 5 guys. He's fighting for your Mount Rushmore of Broncos players. If he comes out and has single sack again, then he's probably not going to be here after this year, just because I don't know that a contract would be able to be worked out between the two sides. And then you're saying, well, look, he was great with Peyton. He was great in 2015. He was, you know, the main reason they won the Super Bowl. But then 6 years, he didn't do that much with this team.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. I just think the Von Miller-Bradley Chubb duo, that is so fascinating to me, Zach, because we just talked about Vaughn. He's got a lot of pressure on him. He's looking at Mount Rushmore. He's wanting to be one of the greatest Broncos. When you look over at Bradley Chubb, it's going to take a lot for that to go away. But this is the guy the Broncos passed on: Quentin Nelson, Josh Allen. They went with Bradley Chubb at 5, and he's had some injuries. Still a solid player, but hasn't, in my opinion, really been that top 5 caliber player that he was drafted in. So both guys, when you look at Vaughn, you look at Chubb, both guys need to have, maybe not special, maybe that's not the right term, but need to have pretty solid seasons.
No, you're absolutely right. And yeah, Bradley Chubb was a Pro Bowler last year, but a top 5 pick as a pass rusher, you're looking for more than just 8 sacks, certainly. So I completely agree with you. And what you hope this is the next DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, when DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller were absolutely lethal for a couple years there, especially in 2015. DeMarcus Ware was 32 years old, Von Miller 32 years old in DeMarcus Ware was 32 in 2015. Von Miller, now 32 years old. You hope that one of them takes off to the level that Von Miller was on in that 2015 season, and the other one is just a great pass rusher. That will not only make your pass rush lethal, but it'll help this secondary. The secondary doesn't need help except in creating turnovers and interceptions. If they get that help, and this group's getting interceptions left and right, then holy cow, I don't know how teams are going to score unless the Broncos' run defense just completely falls apart, which I don't expect to happen.
I'm looking at this secondary, and you just said it. Pat Surtain, maybe he's got a shot. You don't want to go there yet because he's a rookie, but could have a shot as being the top dog on this defense. Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, arguably the best safety duo, and we know all about Fuller and Darby, Bryce Callahan. I mean, if you're playing a prediction game, we know that when the Broncos were so good defensively, every piece was good, but it was their secondary, the no-fly zone, that was ridiculous. Does this group have a chance to be better than the no-fly zone?
Yeah, it's crazy to say, but they have a chance to be just as good as them. Maybe not better, because when you look at that secondary back with the no-fly zone, they had a Hall of Famer in Aqib Talib, and right now there's no one that you can look to and say that guy is a Hall of Famer. Bryce Callahan, one of the best slot cornerbacks in the game. Chris Harris, when he was with the Broncos, exactly that exact same thing. Bradley Roby, here's where the Broncos may have an edge with Bradley Roby. If Ronald Darby stays healthy, he may end up being better than Bradley Roby. And then, of course, Kyle Fuller, he also needs to have a bounce back year, because in 2018, when he was with Vic Fangio, he was an all-pro. He was a shutdown corner. But now he had a down year last year, so he needs to step up and get back to that 2018 form, which he had with Vic Fangio in Chicago. And then, man, Patrick Surtain, I have no question about how good this guy is going to be. His rookie season may not see that potential for an entire season, but I think we will start seeing it at the end of the season. So this group can be very good, but it's going to be hard for this year, that group, to be as good as the no-fly zone.
Here we are in a quarterback battle, and I just want to pick your brain about defense all day, because I think that's what's going to butter this team's bread, man. I think this defense is going to be really fun to watch, and I'm with you, man. I mean, they may not be like this every down stop type team, but they just, on paper, it looks like they might be the team that could create some havoc and big-time turnovers when needed.
Yeah, absolutely, because they have all of the talent in the secondary. They have the pass rush. And if you have both of those things, there's no reason you shouldn't have them. But what's head-scratching is you go back to 2019, the first year under Vic Fangio, and the pass rush was not there. They had no sacks. They did not have turnovers. It was an incredibly historic run just at how poor they were at getting after the quarterback. And they had Bradley Chubb and Von Miller on the field there. So those two guys need to be healthy this whole year because we didn't see them both healthy in 2019 and 2020. You know, you had Bradley Chubb injured in 2019. Then you had Von Miller injured all of last year. So you're going to need to see those guys stay healthy. And one of the most crazy things about Ronald Darby is he is a all-or-nothing type player, except his all is passes broken up, not interceptions. It's incredible how often this guy is around the ball but just does not get interceptions. So maybe with the pass rush that the Broncos are going to have, he'll get some more interceptions. But Kyle Fuller knows how to get interceptions. And then, again, I just think the world of Patrick Surtain, I think he's going to be getting after the ball as well.
Well, Zach, a couple weeks off until we get into full-fledged training camp, and then we really get going. The work begins. And what are you working on for us so we can check out the next couple of days?
I'm looking at some of these players, especially the new guys on the team, some rookies and some vets that are just joining the team, and breaking down what I think their numbers and projections should be. So it's a fun little dive entering training camp, like you said, kind of some off time these next couple of weeks just because there's nothing going on. And so this is when guys are really, you know, resting a little bit, taking some vacations. And, man, it's going to go from 0 to 100 at the end of July.
Zach, one more for you, too. Justin Cernadd, inside linebacker, didn't get a chance to see him last year. It was a guy I was kind of excited about, drafted late, middle to late round last year. We didn't get to see him. But also it's intriguing because what you told us last week about the interior linebacker position might not be as valued on this team with the way Fangio's going to run this defense, a lot of nickel, a lot of dime. But does that guy have a chance to make a decent name for himself in Denver?
Yeah, he does. And Brady, I like that you brought him up because he is a guy that a lot of people were super hyped on last year, just thought he could be the perfect Vic Fangio inside linebacker, especially for what this Broncos team needs. He still absolutely does have a chance to really have a breakout year, establish himself on this defense, and he can be that coverage linebacker in nickel. So instead of going dime and putting six defensive backs, the Broncos may, if Justin Cernadd proves to be valuable enough, want to keep a linebacker on the field and then have five defensive backs surrounding him. In that case, you're taking both Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell off the field. So Cernadd would have to prove that he could be that kind of middle linebacker of the defense in that case. But it is just tougher for him to see the field this year because of how much nickel and dime that they're going to be playing. But, I mean, Vic Fangio really, really still likes where he's at.
Oh, boy. Like I said, I could go through every one of these guys on the depth chart with you, my friend. As we get closer, maybe we could do a full-on preview, and we'll start busting into positions here. Always appreciate you, my man, and we'll catch up with you next week.
I would love it. Thanks so much for having me on, Brady.
All right, man. That's Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Like I said, man, I know we're in this quarterback battle. And these are epic names like Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. But I'm more pumped about this defense. I think this defense is going to be really, really good. Can you have an average quarterback to keep this offense at least moving down the field, getting in field goal range, maybe a touchdown or two, and then you let this defense go to work? I think that's what it's going to be like. I think if you don't like defense and you're all about home runs, you might not be the biggest Broncos fan this year, because I think that's what you're going to get, because I think you're going to see a tamer Drew Locke, too. I really do, if he ends up being the starter. 24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's get into some Nuggets talk. Power to Play Sports poll question. Should the Nuggets get aggressive and go for a big-time move, or do you think the answer is just let everybody heal, get better, come back full force, full of energy, and ready to go? We'll run it back again. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Hey, we got a cool thing happening up on Saturday nights, starting not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So next Saturday, July 3rd, Late Night Local. Couple of great friends of mine, G and Ben Poo, local artists, local musicians. You've seen them throughout Northern Colorado. They're going to be hosting this program, Late Night Local. It's 2 hours of commercial-free music on Saturday nights, 8 to 10, and they're going to be playing only local music. How about that? Just local opportunities for you to discover some fantastic artists in your own backyard that you've maybe never seen before because they're not on Amazon Prime and Spotify and all that stuff. And maybe you're not going out and about, or you're old like me now. I mean, I'm officially in my mid-30s, Colfax. So you don't go out past like 7 o'clock. 8 to 10 o'clock Saturday nights. This show is going to be great. We're going to be getting those guys on to talk to them about it. They're going to be interviewing artists. But for the most part, it's going to be music, and nobody does that in this area. So a great opportunity. You're out and about, you're going somewhere Saturday night, or you're staying in, you're gonna have local music to pick out, and it's gonna be special. I'm pretty excited about it. First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301, 970-478-1301. Our game beer of the week. We have I just realized I don't have that in my hand right now, Colfax. But On the Rocks liquor, I'll tell you when we come back. On the Rocks liquor is our go-to. It's the best liquor store around, and John and Tony, it's a family-run, and operated place, locally owned, man. You can't get much better than that, and the selection's fantastic. So do me a favor. Check out On the Rocks Liquor. Our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Do you think the Nuggets should make a big splash in free agency in the trade market? We're hearing Ben Simmons had an atrocious playoff run. Guy can't shoot, decent defensive player. Kind of reminds me of what Emmanuel Mudiay might have been if he would have been a little bit better defensively. Just not going to be a shooter, a guy that slashes to the rim. Although, missed a wide-open dunk and free throws, Joel Embiid was quick to throw him under the bus. Even though Joker had like 35 points, 14 boards, 10 assists, and still said he didn't do enough, and he apologized to his team. Yeah, that's the leader you want, not Joel Embiid. Sorry. But Tim Connelly spoke about all of those, all the questions going forward and what the Nuggets should do. Should they just run it back? Should they just get healthy and run this whole thing back? Well, first off, here's Tim Connelly, president of basketball operations for the Nuggets, in his end-of-season discussion, just talking about the offseason overall. And here's Mr. Connelly at the moment.
More than a puncher's chance, we thought we legitimately could be a championship-level team. All the injuries come, and then just so proud of how the guys and the coaching staff showed so much resiliency and didn't drop their head, you know, able to have home court advantage and win a playoff round versus a really good Portland team. And we came up short versus an excellent Phoenix team. So, you know, it's not, the injuries aren't ideal. It certainly is going to make some decisions that would probably have been a little more transparent, easy to decipher, harder, but hey, it comes with the territory. So we'll figure it out.
So he's kind of saying, hey, these injuries are going to make our decisions tough. Cause like, okay, when is Jamal going to play? Is it going to be a year? Can we not expect Jamal until March? Are you going to be in a good spot come March without Jamal? I mean, they survived this year without him, but that's a big risk you're taking. You're going to put all that stress on Joker, but for a longer period of time? So whether you're, if you're in the camp of, yeah, get aggressive, go do something, you got to be careful. Because you're already paying Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. What are you going to go out and get very aggressive and get another guy in here when you still have Porter's contract to think about and Aaron Gordon, potentially? Here is Tim Connelly talking about Porter, who I believe is in the pressure cooker next year. He needs to have a monster year, not just scoring. He needs to become more of a complete player. Here's Tim Connelly on Michael Porter Jr.
And the game started to slow down. I thought it was neat to see him start to address some of his deficiencies, not just within the season, but within the game. I know he gets sick of all of us, whether it be myself or Mo, challenging to be, continue to be an elite rebounder. I think he can be one of the best rebounding swings in the whole league. And he's got to continue to embrace the defensive challenge. But he had some really nice moments this year, has some ability to be a rim protector, has a nose for the ball. But if he's going to be one of our main guys in late game situations, he's got to continue to take strides outside the court. And we're pretty confident he will.
You always read between the lines when you hear that stuff. Connelly's not going to say the wrong things in those things, you know, but it's going to be, you know, what else is he really talking? He's right there with us, Colfax. He has to become more of a complete player. He has to be a rebounder, not little you know, easy to grab defensive boards. He needs to be swooping in with aggression and ripping down monster boards, key rebounds for this team, becoming more of a complete player on the defensive side. So talking about that, this feels so far, listening to Conley speak, a lot like it did last summer, where we said maybe the Nuggets don't need to make too big of moves. They just need Porter again to make another step, and now Jamal to make another step, but that step is to become healthy. Here is Conley talking about the injury to Jamal Murray, what to expect, what they can do while waiting for him to rehab.
The Jamal injury, you know, we're going to, as always, try to get better. When Jamal's ready, he'll be back. We don't have a firm time frame on that. I know he's doing a great job with rehab thus far. He was really influential and impactful during the playoffs, just sharing his knowledge of the various matchups. But I don't think his injury will have too much bearing on how we view the next X amount of months, because we know he's going to be back and better than ever, you know, within the year.
So that means they're probably not going to get crazy about another guard, another point guard-ish. You know, you got Monte Morris, Faku being a 30-year-old rookie. You liked him. I gotta think that's the end for Austin Rivers, but I liked him a lot. I thought he fit well mentally, but do you make room for him? I don't. He's cheap. He's cheap. You could get him for probably a song and a dance. Will Barton was out. You know, PJ Dozier was out. So I mean, a lot of guys were out, and Will Barton even comes back and still not quite there, hasn't gelled with the team that long. Morris was out for some of that Portland series as well. Finally, here's what Conley said that really caught my eye, kind of about their thoughts on being a championship team before, did we already play it? Well, let's play it again. Before the injuries really took hold.
More than a puncher's chance, we thought we legitimately could be a championship-level team. All the injuries come, and then just so proud of how the guys and the coaching staff showed so much resiliency and didn't drop their head, you know, able to have home court advantage and win a playoff round versus a really good Portland team. And we came up short versus an excellent Phoenix team. So, you know, it's not, the injuries aren't ideal. It certainly is going to make some decisions that would probably have been a little more transparent, easy to decipher, harder, but hey, it comes with the territory. So we'll figure it out.
My takeaway from that, again, I just get this sense that, okay, Joker thought so, Michael Malone thought so, Tim Connelly thought so, that this team was going to have a really good shot to win a title with a healthy Jamal Murray, with a healthy Will Barton, with a healthy PJ Dozier. And I know it's weird to say he was a huge part because he wasn't at the beginning of the season, but he became a big part. Doesn't that, those clips there, don't they kind of give you the sense Denver's not going to get too aggressive this offseason because they liked the group they had just before Jamal Murray goes down. Murray goes out, then later on Barton goes out, and it kind of sends this whole thing out of whack. So our Power to Play Sports poll question, do the Nuggets need to make a big move this offseason or simply run it back next season with a healthy squad? Garrett says neither. I don't think a big move is needed. Small ones that make us slightly better. Okay, yeah. They're going to make those moves. Every team does that every single year. They're going to add a piece. They're going to cut back some fat. They're going to wave farewell to guys like Paul Millsap and probably JaVale McGee. Maybe they liked him, but they didn't show him the love until that final game. They wave farewell to Austin Rivers. Let's see. We'll read a couple more here. Billy, anyone who says run it back is out of their mind. Anyone who says a major superstar isn't realistic either. It is apparent we need defense. We need perimeter defenders badly, if that wasn't apparent with all of the wide open jumpers and the sun shot throughout the series. Well, again, the question is, do they make a move or they run it back? Now, if you watch the NBA and you say run it back, that doesn't mean they're not going to make a move or two. That means they're going to probably add a guy, but not on the starting rotation. A guy that can compete on the bench, kind of like a Jamichael Green. They add a guy like that that could be a starter if need be, but for the most part is going to be a bench player. Michael says, don't know about big, but our second unit needs a little help here and there. Yeah, I think that's what you're going to see. They need more shooters and defense. Yeah, I mean, those are all things that they need. They definitely need more shooters. They need to have better defense. Their guard defense was really spotty. At times, it was okay, but for the most part, not there. And again, Jamal, nobody's saying he's the best defender in the world, but the guy gets it. He's a sound defensive player. I don't think the Nuggets... If Jamal Murray, Will Barton, PJ Dozier are on that roster healthy all the way through the playoffs, are the Nuggets still playing basketball today? I mean, are we still in this, or maybe we're just wrapping it up? Are they at least closer? Because it kind of looks like Phoenix this year might be that team of destiny. I don't think Phoenix is going anywhere. I think Chris Paul, I think he has a player option. He either takes it or he opts out, and the Suns offer him like a 3-year big-time deal, and they say, let's go try to win another, well, maybe a championship or another championship. So when you look at that, Colfax, you got to look at who knocked you out. Phoenix knocked you out. Lakers knocked you out last year, so you went and got some big bodies. You tried to get some big bodies anyway, and at least halfway through the season. You picked up JaVale McGee, and you wanted Aaron Gordon at that power forward spot. Well, now you got knocked out by a bunch of, well, a solid team, but some pretty ridiculous guard play. Chris Paul dominated, and Devin Booker was solid. Wasn't quite what he was like last night, but he was solid. So if you're Denver, do you go into the season with Monte Morris at starter? Because, again, Murray's out. With Monte Morris at the starting one, and if Will Barton picks up his option, you go Will Barton at 2, MPJ at 3, Aaron Gordon at 4, Nikola Jokic at 5, Faku coming off the bench, PJ Dozier coming off the bench, you know, and then you got Jamichael Green at your power forward spot. Zeke Nagy, the rook from this year, does he get more playing time? Are you comfortable with that roster? Does that roster move the needle and make you a contender early on? Or very, very least, keeps your head above water while you're waiting for Murray to rehab? Or do you need to go strengthen your position at the guard play, you know, on your depth chart, what have you? I mean, those are all easy. Those are easy for us to say, yeah, they need to strengthen that. But then it becomes, do you have room? Because if they're a solid shooter, they're going to cost you. You are. Paul Millsap's coming off the books. JaVale's coming off the books. Austin Rivers, who wasn't taking much room, but he's coming off the books. I think PJ Dozier's up for some kind of a contract extension, too. So, yeah, watch out for those moves. But do they need to make a big move or a splash? Probably a splash. I don't see an Aaron Gordon-type move or above happening to Denver this offseason. And if that's the case, how do you like their chances going forward? All right, 42 minutes after the hour. We're way overdue. Again, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Shout out to the Eden Country Club. You can get all the perks of a top-class country club without blowing your savings account. That's the Eden Country Club. You can become a member today at EatonCC.net. So check them out. We love everything about the country club there in Eaton. It's absolutely beautiful. McCarty's Grill is fantastic. All right, texter here from the Weld County Swami, but how many off seasons do we go saying we need to just have more from our guys before the Nuggets start wasting Jokic in his prime? I guess if there was the season to do that, this would be the season to do that, right? Because you had the injuries. You do have the built-in excuse. The Clippers aren't going anywhere in this series against Phoenix. Sorry, but it's not happening without Kawhi. So why can't you say, why not us? Why can't you say, well, the Nuggets without Jamal, the series isn't going anywhere. Noob says, watch the Clippers if they lose this series. I believe they'll blow it up, and there could be our moves. The Clippers are probably going to blow this thing up if that's the case. They're probably going crazy. Because whatever they're doing is just not working. There's going to be some big free agents out there. I mean, Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard are going to be restricted free agents, I suppose. No, they have their player options. Those are the two. They have player options. I take Kawhi Leonard, but it's not happening. It's not going to happen. You got Mike Conley out there. Kyle Lowry's out there. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. 35. 30 mil is what he was on the books for last year. DeMar DeRozan, take him, 32. Talking about shooting guards, 27.8 on the books, though. The problem is, are guys good with signing a year deal? Because you do, I know, some of you don't want to hear this, and I know we got a break. But if you sign DeMar DeRozan, guy like that, to a three-year deal at $25 million plus, where's the room for MPJ? Where's the room for Aaron Gordon? I believe the Nuggets have made it clear that their big three in the future is Jamal, Joker, and MPJ. So if that's true, then you're not going after any of these big names. It just doesn't fit. Unless you can get them for a one-year deal, and you say, we're going all in, and that's our insurance. If MPJ doesn't work out, we'll give DeRozan the contract. If DeRozan's fine, whatever, we're going. But MPJ takes off, we're giving him the contract. We got to take a short break. Go vote on that one at theholeshow.com. You guys are more along the line of got to make a big move. Well, you might not have the ability to do that. Go to theholeshow.com, vote right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wow, Colfax, today's show flew by, didn't it? It was nuts. Great Monday in the books. Drew Kreisman joined us, talk a little Rockies, and Zach Stevens breaking down minicamp from last week, or at least some of the more exciting things he took from minicamp. Well, what, about 4 weeks away from training camp? Get into a lot of in-depth stories there. NBA playoffs continue, and Rockies are off today, but maybe we'll make a run for it. Get down to that 10 games. That'll do it for us. No games to pick tonight, Colfax, so no worries. We'll get back at it tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.